Regardless of whether you support President Trump or not, you have to admit that there is a fierce battle raging in America today. One narrative will prevail. The question is, which one will it be? Will official history record that President Trump was a bull in a china shop, bringing destruction to America and the world? Or will it applaud him for the amazing reversal of America's fortunes and standing in the world? Will President Trump be able to lead America into a recovery? Many Christians are praying for a restoration and revival in America, the rebuilding of a foundation of morality and righteousness. My guest today on Soaring Eagle Radio is author Troy Anderson, who along with co-writer Paul McGuire have recently released their newest book titled Trumpocalypse, The End Times President, A Battle Against the Global Elite, and The Countdown to Armageddon. Stay tuned for our conversation next in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can find us on all the normal platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're on the Worldview Weekend Radio Network. We're on Global Star Radio Network. We're on the Fringe Radio Network and Prepper Broadcasting. So we're all over the place. And, of course, on our flagship website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. My guest today is Troy Anderson. He is a Pulitzer Prize-nominated investigative journalist, best-selling co-author of The Babylon Code, former executive editor of Charisma Magazine, reporter at the Los Angeles Daily News, and a regular guest on numerous television and radio shows. Welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio, Troy.
Thank you for inviting me on. It's a great honor.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you accepting the invitation. And I have to say, I really enjoyed your book, Trumpocalypse. And I believe it's obvious, Troy, to anyone with eyes to see and ears to hear, that the American media has declared war on President Trump. And this, even before he was president, it's mostly been a nonstop 24/7, 365 barrage of misleading statements and what amounts, in my opinion, to little more than fake scandals that evaporate when the light of truth is directed toward them. And my question, Troy, as we begin talking about President Trump and especially your book, in all your years as a journalist, have you ever seen anything like this?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a journalist for almost 27 years now, and I don't recall ever seeing that the media, sort of in the mainstream media, in the state that it's in now, this you know, I think I saw some statistics the president released not too long ago that almost all the mainstream media coverage is negative. This is all out attack against him.
Yeah.
And just so much, you know, disinformation and, you know, brainwashing and deception and fake news. I, you know, it's just journalism has really declined a lot since, you know, even a decade or 15 years ago when I was, you know, reporter at the LA Daily News and other different newspapers. So, yeah, this is just unprecedented. And you know, this is a big question we ask in the book is why is the media behaving this way and the elite? And that's something we explore.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't mind telling people, I've said it before, I'm 62 years old now, so I've seen quite a few presidents, Troy, and I cannot remember anything that even remotely approaches the kind of behavior that the American media are manifesting today toward this president. It's just breathtaking when you consider it, but we know the source of it. So anyway, I like the title of the book, Trumpocalypse, and it really seems to be an apocalyptic time. Depending on which perspective you hold, apocalyptic events can be devastating or they can be the harbingers of hope and revival. And I think that you and Paul, in your book, you've taken the hopeful approach, haven't you?
Yeah, well, what we argue in the book is that we're at this key moment in history. You know, as you know, I interviewed over 100 different you know, faith leaders and Bible scholars and experts in geopolitics and economics, intelligence, military affairs for our first book, The Babylon Code, is an investigative expose of globalism. And then this is the second book in the series. We interviewed over 50 different experts. And you know, the overwhelming consensus is that, you know, among the faith leaders and Bible scholars, you know, everybody from Billy Graham and Tim LaHaye to, you know, Hal Lindsey and Joel Rosenberg and Rabbi Kahn, just a whole list of, you know, faith leaders and Bible scholars, that they believe we are in the run-up to these events predicted in the Bible. But the most surprising thing is that all these secular experts, you know, professors and experts at Princeton and Oxford and the Future of Humanity Institute at Oxford, Noam Chomsky, believe we're approaching the end of human civilization. So everybody pretty much agrees that, you know, this is a very dangerous time in history. But yet, what we argue in the book is that at this key time that, you know, we sort of have two paths we can go down here. And we're very hopeful that, and we're already seeing many signs of this, that people are waking up to what's really going on. And that there seems to be, like Anne Graham Lotz talks about, pockets of revival throughout America, you know, especially with, you know, Billy Graham's passing last week, just the gospel being spread all over the world. And so we're actually very optimistic that we could see some kind of, you know, revival or awakening. And there seems to be signs of this already happening now.
Yes. And that of course, when we talk about an end times revival, I think that some people misunderstand, especially those that that are opposed to Christians. They're not born again believers. I think they misunderstand. But an end times revival, well, any kind of revival, we can frame it that way, Troy. Any kind of widespread revival has to do with people's hearts being turned to God, those whose hearts have grown cold being turned back to God, and the result of that is that it lifts up every society, and things change. Evil is defeated, and it begins to retreat. The social structures that undergird a society are strengthened. Those things that are not helpful and in fact are not righteous and holy, those things are done away with. So everyone benefits. The point is this: everyone benefits from a revival, don't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've watched the devastation of our country over the last, you know, 4 or 5 decades. You know, we watched the destruction of the family. You know, we've got, you know, all terrible levels of homelessness and poverty and crime and incarceration. And, you know, we've watched sort of the flipping of our Judeo-Christian foundations. So we've seen this this complete, you know, flip, people calling evil good and good evil over the last several decades. So, yeah. You know, any kind of, you know, return to our Judeo-Christian roots, return to, you know, the truth of God's word and living righteous lives, that this will have a, you know, perhaps we're already beginning to see this, is that this will have a very positive impact throughout society, throughout the world. And a leader is very important. The leader sets the tone. Yes. Leaders sets the spiritual tone. And we're already seeing this sort of happening that, you know, when President Trump was first elected, there was this gigantic, massive shock. You know, it sent the shockwave throughout the world, and you just sort of saw the forces of darkness just sort of going nuts over the whole thing. Yeah. But now that we're over a year into this, you know, we've seen, you know, unemployment dropping. We've seen the recovery of the economy. We're seeing, you know, we're supporting Israel. You know, we're seeing, you know, African-American community. I think their unemployment levels at the lowest in decades. You're seeing maybe like an increase in a certain amount of morality and you know, people trying to live righteous lives and just sort of the mood, sort of an optimism that, you know, many people felt hopeless, you know, for a long time. And now there's like this renewed sense of hope. And then also sort of like a boldness, you know, we can share a faith again. You know, we can stand up for what God wants us to stand up for. So I think it's not just, you know, President Trump, but it's something that God is doing through him and through many different faith leaders and Christians around the world. So yeah, we're very optimistic that that's something, you know, God is doing something big here.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned, Troy, that that there was shock among those who did not support Trump. In fact, most of them that did not support Trump didn't think there was any way in the world that he would be elected. And I think that you and Paul were paying very, very close attention to what was going on in the run-up to the actual election, during the election season and the campaigning and so on. And maybe that's captured in the subtitle of your book, The End Times President, A Battle Against the Globalist Elite and the Countdown to Armageddon, because Trump, during his campaign, he stated matter-of-factly, repeatedly, that his campaign was going to be about America and not globalism. And it seems to me that the whole hashtag revolution of Make America Great Again resonated with so many Americans. Do you think that Trump's presidency is a bona fide, a genuine countermove against globalization, and that's why there's been such outrage and outpouring of anger and hatred?
Yeah, I think what happened is that, you know, like polls show that about 80% of evangelical Christians believe we're living in the biblical end times. And so I believe, you know, based on all the interviews and all the research I've done, that people had this sense that, you know, maybe we really are approaching all these end time events the Bible talks about. You know, the book Revelation talks about a global government, a caste society, and some kind of, you know, maybe a cult-based religion that would be the, you know, this dictator, you know, totalitarian kind of system the Antichrist would preside over. And everybody sort of saw us moving in that direction. And I think, you know, I mean, President Trump came out and said that Americanism, not globalism, would be our credo. That was his campaign platform. And essentially, you know, globalism has its roots in, you know, as we argued in our first book, in ancient Babylon. You know, Nimrod was essentially an archetype of the Antichrist. He was the first, you know, leader of the first world government. That's where the mystery religions began, where a lot of the secret societies and occult beliefs originated there. And so President Trump was the first president to stand up against these forces of darkness that were trying to, you know, take America down and merge us into some kind of global system. And I think people just sort of had a sense. Maybe they couldn't fully articulate it. Maybe they didn't fully understand it. But they just had a sense that this was sort of, it was a very dangerous moment in history. And so we saw, you know, essentially saw all these Christians go to the polls and elected him. And he's the first president to stand up against the globalist elite, against these, you know, we talk about secret societies and these powerful forces behind the scenes that, you know, largely control our world. And he stood up against them. And so far, you know, God's protected them. So it's a pretty incredible thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that was that's one of the things that I appreciate about you and Paul's book as well, Troy, is that you make no bones about it, that there is a globalist elite behind this war against President Trump, and it extends even beyond President Trump. The war was really being waged against America as a nation And that was being done, maybe you could say, clandestinely, but now it's out in the open. They're very hostile to Trump. And one of the things, if people are paying attention, Troy, is that this globalist plan includes the dissolution of sovereign nations and the establishment of a global governing authority, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for many people, you know, if this is like the first time they've heard things like this, they probably think this is sort of far-fetched. But in reality, what we found is that, you know, the elite have been sort of, you know, slowly raising the temperature in the pot, you know, to cook the frog for quite a while now.
Yes.
And they're sort of getting us used to this. So, you started seeing, you know, world leaders coming out and talking about, you know, world government, you know, like they're having the world government summit in Dubai now and things like that.
Yes.
And then you've got these global citizen festivals they have in New York and Germany and around the world. And they attract all these celebrities and world leaders. And then we cite a poll in the book. I think it's the Global Challenges Foundation did a poll of about 8,000 people in 8 major countries, including the United States, and found that 7 in 10 people worldwide now support a global authority. Hmm. Essentially, they believe that we need to have some kind of, you know, global political authority that could, you know, make all the nations get rid of their nuclear weapons and address climate change and those kind of things. So, as we've been sleeping here in America, you know, the very powerful, you know, political and other forces in Europe and elsewhere have been working very, you know, methodically and concertedly for a long time, to the point now where 7 in 10 people sort of support some kind of, you know, globalist system. So, one thing we argue in the book is that, based on interviews of experts, is that, you know, we could be in sort of the latter stages of the elite rolling out this system. You know, we've seen the, you know, microchip implants being rolled out for workers worldwide. We certainly have all the technologies now for, you know, total control, surveillance state, and, you know, electronic banking and that kind of thing. So, the date is later than many people think, and that's what we're trying to do with this book, is sort of wake up people to what's really happening, and featuring all kinds of highly credible, you know, interviews of experts and all kinds of evidence, which we cite in the book.
Yes, yeah. One of the things that folks struggle with is that they don't hear about these things, very often at least, from the mainstream media. And the reason for that is that the mainstream media is part of the problem. They're in partnership with all of the forces that you've been talking about, and they are supporting the rise of a world governing authority. And so they're not going to report on these kinds of things, especially in a negative light. And anything that they might report would surely be in a positive light. And those of us, like you, Paul, and others that call attention to what's really going on, well, we get labeled with pejoratives like, well, they're a right-wing nut, or they're a conspiracy theory, or they're fringe, or they're, you know, tinfoil hat, or whatever. They throw all those terms around to try and undermine what the evidence points to, don't they?
Yeah, and the most interesting thing about that, you know, I worked as a mainstream journalist for, you know, 20 years, and, you know, I still write for, you know, Reuters and Newsmax and mainstream publications, but, you know, I took an enormous risk in delving into all this, you know, for the simple thing that you just pointed out there, that, you get called names, essentially. But what's interesting about the term conspiracy theory is we actually found a book by a professor at a major university in Florida. I think the book was called Conspiracy Theory, and he comes right out there in the book and says that the CIA created the term conspiracy theory back in the 1960s to discourage journalists from investigating government corruption scandals.
There you go.
Infuse the term with very negative connotations, so that there'd be like those peer pressure. Whereas, you know, if you look into certain of these things, then, you'd be ostracized or alienated, or, you know, maybe even lose your job. I remember I read Jim Mars is a New York Times bestselling author. He wrote the book Ruled by Secrecy. Mm. In fact, his last book was called Illuminati, the Secret Society that Hijacked the World. And he used to be a Fort Worth Star-Telegram investigative reporter. I interviewed him a couple of years ago. He died last summer. But I interviewed him a couple of years ago. And he said that when he worked at the newspapers, you know, I guess back in the 80s or 90s, you know, he found out that the CIA had, you know, essentially, you know, they had plants in pretty much all the big newsrooms around the country to, you know, ensure that they towed the company line. And I remember when I was working at the LA Daily News, I read Rule by Secrecy by Mars back in like 2000 or something. It was a real eye opener for me. I remember my dad had talked about this stuff when I was little, but I decided it's sort of crazy, you know. And but then I read that book and I go, wow, I wonder if this stuff is true. And I mentioned it to my editor at the LA Daily News. And she goes, shh, we don't talk about that stuff around here. That's crazy.
So, oh my goodness.
You get the message.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Jim wrote a lot of fantastic books. I had the privilege and the blessing of interviewing him, maybe 6 or 9 months, before he passed. And, he always had a lot of provocative things to say, but if you followed the trail, then you're going to find out that the facts support those. And that's a clearly a strength of your book, is that if folks will get past what they don't understand or what they've been led to believe about globalism, about President Trump, about Christians, if they'll get past that and they'll follow the facts where they lead, they're going to find out that what you and Paul have done is really yeoman's work to present this to people to try and wake them up. And I appreciate that. So thank you, Troy. Let's turn to some current events. Let's talk about, probably the hottest topic. Well, there's really two, I guess, in my opinion, but let's talk about what the media is hyperventilating about. And that's North Korea. What are your thoughts on the situation there with Kim Jong and President Trump?
Yeah, I mean, this the way this thing, whole thing has unfolded over the last, you know, year and a half or so, it just, you know, it's very intriguing. You know, for the first year of you know, President Trump's presidency, we had the leader of North Korea threatening this nuclear attack on, you know, many occasions, testing out all these new weapons and such. In fact, we have a couple chapters in the book that explore this, talk about supposed super EMP weapons that perhaps could, you know, if they could successfully detonate them in satellites or something like that, you know, potentially could knock out our electric grid and cause, you know, widespread chaos. You know, and then we had, you know, President Trump at the United Nations late last year, you know, saying if Kim Jong-un didn't back down, that we would totally destroy North Korea. And, you know, so and now, you know, after all these sanctions, all of a sudden, you know, he comes out and says he wants to meet with President Trump and potentially, you know, either reduce their number of nuclear weapons or, you know, reach some kind of peace agreement. So this is a very curious situation we have going on here. I mean, we put the world in fear. I mean, I interviewed a professor at Princeton, Frank von Hippel. He's a member of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. And I asked him, you know, with this whole thing of North Korea, what's the chance that we could have some kind of, you know, big problem here in the near future? And he estimated there's a 33% chance of a nuclear conflagration over the next decade. And then I interviewed Sid Roth, and he said that he thought that we would face a nuclear invasion during Trump's time in office, some kind of terrible catastrophe. And at some point, a friend of ours gave a copy of Trumpocalypse to President Trump and Mike Pence and Ben Carson. And we don't know if the president read it or not. We don't know if it had any impact on him. But this whole thing with, you know, North Korea now coming forward like this is very curious. I mean, was this whole thing sort of staged behind, you know, beforehand, or is it all just sort of unfolded like this? You know, did President Trump's, you know, strong statements, his sort of, you know, warrior spirit, you know, or did God intervene and help, you know, bring this about? I mean, only time will tell here, but it's all very, very interesting, and the way it's all unfolding.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it gives pause to those that have opposed Trump and those that have really been ugly about it, it certainly gives them pause, because they were absolutely convinced that we were on the brink of a nuclear holocaust. And now this is like a 180 degree about face, heading in the different in the direction that they wanted to go in the first place. And now they don't know what to make of this. I mean, how can you give credit to a man that you've been attacking vociferously for the last year or more? It's almost comical to watch. President Trump's enemies, they don't know what to do with this. So, okay, how about the Russian narrative, Troy? Where do you see this heading? Is it dead, or is it going to be kept on life support for as long as it's useful?
Yeah, I would imagine they'll keep it on life support as long as they possibly can. You know, I mean, essentially what we've seen is that the elite have tried, you know, everything they could possibly think of to topple President Trump. In fact, I found an article in Foreign Affairs by a former Department of State official. She's a professor at Georgetown University Law School. And in this article, she wrote that they essentially had a three-stage, a plan that they planned to, follow in order to get rid of Trump. You know, and the first stage was, this whole Russian collusion thing. If that didn't work, they would try to declare him, mentally unfit for command, which is, I guess if you can get the vice president, chiefs of staff to go along with it, you could potentially, take him out of command that way, but it's very unlikely. And then, she even mentioned a military coup, in its Foreign Affairs article, so apparently they sort of have this whole strategy of how they're going to try to topple Trump. And now, now we have this whole thing. Could Oprah run against Trump in 2020? And we actually cite a poll in the book saying that here a while back, there was one poll that found that she might be able to beat President Trump in 2020. So, I don't foresee them, letting up at all. They really want him out of there, and he's, what we argue in the book is he's standing in the way of their plans to unleash this new world order on the planet. And they're going to keep trying everything they can. It's just what's next,
Yeah. Yeah. And that should say a lot to folks, don't you think, Troy? Because they're very candid about their plans. I mean, they're not trying to hide anything. They're flat out stating here's a strategy, and we're going to try this, and we'll try this, and we'll try this, and if those things don't work, we'll come up with something else. We're going to continue to press the point to try and remove it. Well, there has to be a reason. There has to be a goal in mind, and you argue, as well as Paul, that it really is a move for globalization. And of course, the reason we keep bringing this up, and I'll just say this for our listeners, Troy, the reason we keep bringing up globalization and the removal of sovereign nations as independently ruling people is because that is the plans, and that is the prophesied outcome of the world before Christ returns. We're talking about a one world government and a one world religion and one world economy, as it's detailed in the book of Revelation, aren't we?
Yeah, the Bible predicts that this will, at some point actually happen. And if you look back at the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis, I mean, essentially they were trying to create this system at that time, and God intervened and confused the languages of humanity, and people spread throughout the world and eventually formed, all these nation states we have today. So, God, saw that, human nature is fallen. We're prone to sin. And if many of these globalists just sort of, subscribe to this sort of naive hope that, if we could just sort of bring the world together, like John Lennon sang about in Imagine,
yeah.
or my ancestor, Friedrich von Schiller, wrote about in Ode to Joy, that, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, that if we could just bring the world together, then we could have peace and we can solve all the world's problems and it'll be this wonderful world that we can create. But unfortunately, the problem with that idea is that it doesn't take into account how, wicked humanity can be. I mean, we've seen you know, these totalitarian communist, you know, governments arise in the last century, you know, Russia, China, Nazi Germany, many others. And it always ends in this gigantic bloodbath, you know, over 100 million people died. So just imagine if you allowed one, you know, one entity or one group of people to take control, total power over the whole world. I mean, you know, it's the Bible tells us it will be just an absolute nightmare. So, you know, I think we need to, you know, consider God's word and read the Bible and understand that these are real dangers, and there's real powerful forces trying to move us into this kind of thing now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. While we're on the subject of the Bible and prophecy and these kinds of things, many Christians have likened President Trump to that of the biblical Cyrus, and I was wondering what's your view on that, Troy?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that in the book. Yeah, there's a number of faith leaders have compared him to King Cyrus, who is, you know, this pagan king of Persia. His claim to fame is he freed the Jews from captivity in Babylon, and you know, essentially allowed them to return to Israel, where they you know, built the second temple. And so, you know, God used him, you know, in a big way, essentially, even though he's a pagan king. And throughout the Bible, you know, you'll see God using, you know, he even used the pharaohs. You know, he used the king of Babylon. You know, some of the biblical characters were flawed men that God used. And, you know, there's been a lot of criticism of President Trump because of, you know, the life he's led. You know, it's not your ideal, you know, Christian life. You know, some people say he's a baby Christian at this point. And, you know, so then, you know, these things that happened in the past would be, you know, things that sort of happened before he gave his life to the Lord, if that's in fact the case. But, you know, we try to delve into this whole question. And, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, how can Christians support him because of, you know, the things he's done? And you know, if you look through the Bible, God used many flawed individuals and even pagan, you know, leaders to carry out his purposes.
Yeah, very, very true. And I'm a little bit disappointed in folks that claim to know Christ by faith and continually rail against President Trump. It's somewhat, well, it gives me pause, and I don't quite understand the depth of anger. I don't understand the source of where that comes from some Christians that try to denigrate President Trump. In the very least, what they should do is pray for him and encourage others to do so instead of constantly railing against him. So, well, that's my two cents on that subject. But there is, and you mentioned this earlier, Troy, and so I want to loop back to this. There is, in fact, an economic recovery happening in America, and if this was in the Obama years, the press would be nonstop trumpeting his genius, his savvy, and what a remarkable leader he is. And clearly that's not the case with President Trump. The press, with few exceptions, will not give President Trump credit for anything positive. Do you think, Troy, that this economic recovery that we're seeing, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, I wonder if you'd go into more detail, Is this going to continue, or is there, as some are suggesting, an economic reset coming? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, God is certainly concerned about our economy and our economic system, and so, you know, the question is are the policies and you know, different things that President Trump doing contributing to this, you know, this you know, economic recovery that we're experiencing now? And I would argue that they certainly are. Once you have a good leader making, you know, good decisions and at the head of, you know, the the world's last superpower, that's going to have a big ripple effect on, you know, the economy throughout the world. Of course, at the same time, you know, we have these astronomical debt levels that have been accumulated by pretty much all nations of the world. You know, some Harvard professors estimated that the debt levels are at a 200 century high water mark. And I interviewed Chuck Missler for this this book, and he said that, you know, pretty much everybody, you know, economists agree that there's pretty much no way we're going to be able to repay all these debts. I mean, they go into the potentially into the trillions of dollars if you add in the derivatives and all the unfunded liabilities for, you know, Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid and pensions and, you know, all these different things. So they're just these astronomical levels of debt. And so that we have a chapter called The Economic Reset. And in there we quote, we have a section on the IMF director, Christine Lagarde. And she gave this interesting speech at the, I believe it was at the National Press Club, where she kept on talking about an economic reset. And it was sort of like this occult language used during this speech. It was very odd numerology and things like that. And so we wrote in there that it seemed like she's sending some kind of signal to, you know, the occult elite, that there could be some kind of economic reset coming. Of course, you know, nobody knows if this really going to happen. But if they did try to reset the global economy and they, you know, wanted to bring online their, you know, their microchip implants or what, or some kind of cashless society, because we're certainly seeing a move towards that. You know, what would happen? I mean, what would this look like? And but you know, we have a chapter dedicated to that. But what we believe is that, you know, God is intervening in human affairs right now, and he's, you know, God's very patient, and he wants all to come to salvation. And America's played this gigantic role in spreading the gospel throughout the world over the last couple of centuries. And so we believe we're in this critical moment where, if, you know, like Billy Graham told us, if we turn back to God, then, you know, we believe America will go on to fulfill its destiny that began with the Pilgrims, to take the gospel to all the world. And, you know, the Pilgrims dedicated America to God in the Mayflower Compact, and in a way they were sort of, you know, they had built their early society the way the early Hebrews had. And so, you know, I think it's a big question mark. You know, we could have, you know, great times coming if, I believe, if we do the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good perspective, Troy. The last chapter of your book, I really was thrilled to read it. And I have to admit that I wasn't aware that our own national day of prayer started out as something very differently. Let me just share with for our listeners' sake that presidents have called for a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer throughout our nation's history. But the last president to do that was President Lincoln, to call for such a day. Well, there has been and remains today a national day of prayer, but there's talk about a national day of repentance being called for in 2018, and the idea is to have President Trump televise that. Troy, do you know if that is in fact going to happen?
Yeah. So our friend Kevin Jessup, he's founder of the Global Strategic Alliance. It's a ministry seeking to restore Judeo-Christian values. He's been, you know, in contact with Ben Carson and Vice President Pence and President Trump to a certain extent regarding this proposed National Day of Repentance. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen on the 155th anniversary of Lincoln's proclamation, which I believe is coming up on March 30th. But actually, I just spoke to him earlier today, and they're now proposing that in September that they may hold an event at the United Nations in which 9 different countries, including America, would you know, participate in this, I guess, now a global day of repentance. And the president, you know, if he decides to do this, would either read Lincoln's proclamation or issue his own statement. And you have all kinds of faith leaders. And I understand that Angram Lotz supports this, and Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, a number of different, Jim Garlow, a number of different faith leaders. So it's probably all going to emerge in the coming months. But that's the hope now. And this sort of goes back to, I interviewed Billy Graham a few years ago, before his health started to deteriorate. And he told me that signs of the end of the age are converging for the first time since Jesus made those predictions. And he said that he compared America to ancient Nineveh, and the lone superpower of its time. And when God sent the prophet Jonah to Nineveh to warn them of judgment, the king and the people repented, and they were saved. And Billy Graham told me he believes the same thing can happen again today in America. And so that's essentially the message that, you know, he told me when I interviewed Tim LaHaye. He said the same thing when I interviewed Angram Lotz, you know, and many others, Rabbi Kahn. Pretty much everybody agrees this is the solution. If we, you know, repent of our sins and turn back to God, then, you know, we'll go on to fulfill our destiny to, you know, take the gospel to all the world.
Yeah. Wow. Well, what an exciting thing that would be to see that unfold, Troy. Folks can, you've got a website, TroyAnderson.us, TroyAnderson.us. Folks can go there, and you've got some interviews and some commentary, you and Paul McGuire, a lot of videos there. Anything folks need to know about your website, Troy?
Yeah, I mean, they can also sign up for my free e-newsletters, the Troy Anderson Report. I'll write articles, you know, every couple weeks or so, and we'll post, you know, our interviews and Paul's articles on there. And you know, the book is available, you know, at Barnes and Noble nationwide and via Amazon and Parable and Books a Million, and I think online via, you know, Target and Walmart.
Yeah, yeah. And you can keep up with Troy on Twitter at Troy Anderson, at Troy Anderson, and on Facebook, Troy Anderson Writer, Troy Anderson Writer. I'm sure he'd appreciate hearing from you folks and telling him you really appreciate his book and encouraging him on the next one. Is there any new projects you want to let our listeners know about, Troy?
Just today, I don't know if we can release names yet, but we've got a lot of interest in turning Trumpocalypse into either a docudrama film for theatrical release or even a TV series. And so it sounds like that's going to possibly come together here pretty quick. And so, you know, we may have a film coming out in the not too distant future.
Well, that's pretty exciting. That would be awesome to see, Troy. I appreciate you joining me today and talking about your book. And again, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. You can go to Troy's website, TroyAnderson.us. You can order it there. The book is Trumpocalypse, The End Times President, A Battle Against the Globalist Elite and the Countdown to Armageddon. Troy, I appreciate you taking the time to join me and discuss this.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Well, God bless you.
God bless you too.
Bye now. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek.